As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's happening? It's Vincent. Hey, I just want to let everybody know that this episode is going to be a two-parter. So in our usual fashion, we're going to tell the story, which is pretty long, and then do the theories in a subsequent episode. It's also worth noting this episode was researched by Austin with a little help from me. The screechy tweets you hear in the background of this episode were contributed by my canary, Motoretta. An off-duty police officer has gone for a hike on his day off. Out there in the wilderness, sweltering heat, he's become lost. But this is the year 2005, and his phone has service. Holding off panic, he dials emergency services and he gets through. Things are looking up for the guy. The problem is, he's so very lost, he doesn't really know where he is within this sprawling regional park. A solution is immediately reached. The cops use their phones to get exact coordinates for dispatch. And with his phone well-connected, it should be no problem for him to send emergency responders his location and have rescue on the way. There's even signs up around the park letting them know what coordinates he's at. The officer complies, but immediately something is wrong. The coordinates he sent, they don't exist. Now the line is suddenly dead. Responders can't get through, and where the officer once had a strong signal, he neither makes nor answers another call. Despite extensive searches, he is never seen or heard from again.
It's not a one-off. For the last 20 or so years, there have been persistent and mysterious disappearances in this area. Today, we take fate into our hands as we enter the Cyclone Barrier.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni, this is The Shocking Details.
Hey there. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details, starring Joe and also starring
Vincent Caldoni.
All right. So today, this week, we are heading to Canton, I shouldn't say Canton. It's kind of in the eastern part of the Hong Kong area.
There's
this area called Sai Kung. It's a peninsula called the Sai Kung Administrative District. Kind of in the easternmost tip of this region is the Sai Kung East Country Park. And that's an interesting thing about Hong Kong, is you think of Hong Kong as being solid city, but actually it's surrounded by a lot of these country parks. If you look on the map, there's Sai Kung in the east, and then several to the north of the city as well. It is, there's a lot of kind of wildernessy area surrounding Hong Kong. But in Sai Kung East Country Park, the terrain is not what you think of when you think of the peninsula and the areas. It's like I said, it's rural. It's a bit backward, a bit more traditional, folklore-y kind of place in this area in 1911, there were six small villages inhabited by just several hundred people who were descended from the Hakka Han people who migrated south from more northern areas of China. And they were culturally, ethnically distinct from their fellow Cantonese in the area. But then at some point after the 1911 consensus, these villages were cleared away to make way for farming, mining, shipping concerns to support Hong Kong and the wider British Empire. The Brits still controlled the area at the time. There are still villages, though, in Sai Kung. It's not completely depopulated.
There is actually they don't call it a town, a city, but it looks like a city to me.
Sai Kung, yeah, it is actually, yeah, I guess it's not a major city or anything like that, but it's not a little dinky town either.
No, it's a pretty urban area.
Yeah, and then there are other little villages of only several hundred people, kind of around the peninsula, kind of, you know, like little old fishing villages. Some of these places are not reachable even by road. It's by sea or by trail, you know, and so there's still some villages around there. But they had some major hydro projects that went in, and that probably caused a few of these villages to have to go away as well.
Yeah. I get the impression that something was different in this region back in the early 20th century.
Yeah.
Large swaths of the land were placed under administrative control as opposed to private or corporate ownership. And for whatever reason, and I'm anything but an expert on this region's history, large portions were left not just uninhabited, but largely roadless, as you were talking about. And it's difficult to stress how rare not even having a road in or out is to this part of the world. It's not super common. You know, you're not all that far from Hong Kong. And as we said before, Sai Kung is not a tiny place. It's a real city.
Yeah.
The areas to the south and east of the city of Sai Kung were designated as protected parkland and have served as a recreational wilderness area for the people of Hong Kong, Sai Kung, and all the surrounding megapoli, pretty much without any major incidents until the 21st century.
This alone is pretty strange. Starting in the 20th century, officials in Hong Kong placed signs at regular intervals along the trail. This is like in one of the major trail in this area in Sai Kung and other areas. It's called the Maclehose Trail, named after Sir Murray Maclehose, who was the chief British administrator for Hong Kong.
He was a governor, and he was actually the longest serving governor.
That's it. And he was an outdoorsman and a hiker, so he proposed this thing called this major 100-kilometer trail, which starts in Sai Kung and runs.
This will not make sense to people who are not familiar with Portland, but the Maclehose Trail is a little bit like the Wildwood Trail if you're familiar with Forest Park.
Yeah.
It's the backbone of the park, and there are a lot of trails that lead off of it.
Yeah,
the main one is the Maclehose.
Exactly, and so he proposed this, and they built it, and it is 100 kilometers long. Does a major sort of counterclockwise circle around the Sai Kung Peninsula, and then proceeds westward across the north of Hong Kong, and it's immensely popular. I mean, a lot of people hike this trail and the side trails and stuff every year. But as a safety feature, when they built the trail, they placed signs at regular intervals along the trail containing the coordinates of that specific sign, that place where the sign was at. In Hong Kong, they use a grid coordinate system, and they call it the HK 1980 grid coordinate system. And pretty much all citizens are familiar with this. I think it's kind of necessary, too, because I don't know. I know that certain countries, they don't actually name the streets. I don't know if Hong Kong is quite like that. I've heard some.
I don't totally know. I get the impression that this was done in part not so much for like Hong Kong, although that could be really useful in some of the parts of the city, especially, you know, like before they did some more modern urbanization.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it actually may be more for the rural areas because the coastline is so jagged and so varied. And if you look at it on a map, you just go to Google Maps, you could see why you'd be like, well, you know, 10th Street isn't really going to work out because there's ocean between 8th and 10th, right? Like, so I think the grid coordinates help with some of that stuff.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Or I could be totally wrong. And if you are familiar with it and why they use this HK 1980 grid system, you should write us an email and let me know, because I actually was not able to find the exact reasoning for why they instituted this.
Well, it sounds like a cool kind of logical system, though. And But
it works great. Like everything I could read about it when I did the limited time I had to research it, nobody had a negative thing to say about it. They said, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to find your way around. You just have to find your grid coordinates. And then it doesn't matter if you can't find a street sign or an address or whatever. You're going to know where you are with your coordinates.
Exactly. And so it's a good thing.
Like they saw the smartphone days coming.
Yeah, they did. I know. So they were ahead of their time. And of course, so these locations are marked throughout the peninsula, not only on the McLehose Trail, but on all the side trails as well. Mm-hmm. And so these signs are there to help hikers signal authorities where they are if they should get lost, because they've also placed they've also ensured in more modern times that the area has got good cell phone coverage. And so mm-hmm. they actually put up extra cell towers in there just for that, just so somebody gets lost or whatever, they can call the authorities and give them their great coordinates and voila. Rescue.
Mm-hmm. And, which is a theme in this story.
Yeah.
That theme.
Yeah. And anybody, of course, can go off trail, maybe lose their phone, slip, fall to their death or whatever. But theoretically, this should be a fairly difficult place to get lost, because actually the forest cover is not that thick. It's not as jungly a place as you would expect it to be, at least from what I've gathered from the pictures I've seen of the area.
Yeah,
And it looks like a fairly easy place to rescue people from. And a lot of people have been rescued from it.
Yeah.
Because since it's so popular with hikers, that kind of guarantees there's going to be a lot of people who are going to get in trouble out there. You know, mm-hmm. break a leg, get heat stroke, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, despite all that, despite a fairly comprehensive rescue system and signaling system, et cetera, and a cell phone system, some people are still mysteriously vanished. And et cetera, and or died. So let's get into some of these mysterious events in the barrier, the Sai Kung barrier.
So the first and most famous one would be the incident involving our police officer.
Yeah.
His name was Ding Hua.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm saying that right. I looked up pronunciation guides, but man, I don't speak Chinese.
I do not. Yeah, the transliterations are not always consistent or accurate, I have found.
Yeah, so I'm doing my best with it. I'm really making an effort, unlike I did with the poor town in Pennsylvania that I've been lambasted over and still can't say right, apparently.
Oh, literally thousands of people have contacted us over that.
Not thousands, but we've gotten a lot.
Okay, literally twos of people have.
I think we're well into the teens at this point. But
Really? Okay.
Man, then people were, and also we said, hold on, I think I can do this one right. Lancaster, wrong.
Yeah,
it's not Lancaster.
It's Lancaster. That makes sense.
Lancaster, and yeah. I got some emails about it. So. Uh-huh. Unlike the lovely people of Pennsylvania, the people of Romania seem to have been quite a bit kinder. In the limited contact we had about the Vampire of Bucharest, people were extremely patient with my bad pronunciations of Romanian names.
Nobody, and no threats either. That's the best part. So it's, oh no, they got the right vampire. I am the vampire.
Yeah. So we're going to do our best with the Chinese here. I did make a real effort to be able to say these correctly, but I know I'm going to butcher it. So.
I know. I even had trouble pronouncing McLehose or McLehose name. See there, I just did it.
I was writing it. I was like, this one even is in English and I can't say it.
No, actually, you know, being a British name, you know how they are. It's probably, it looks like McLehose, but it's probably McLe or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I have no idea.
It's probably McLe. You know, I mean, yeah, that's the way they are. But silly Brits.
So Ding Hua. He was an off-duty police officer. He actually worked in at a really high level in the anti-triad unit.
That's what makes me think that probably the triads got him.
That's a theory.
Yeah, I bet.
You wouldn't be the only one who had that theory. I'm going to say that this would be a really unique killing in triad history, but it could be. So anyway, he's the guy we talked about. He's hiking along the trail. Ding calls 999, that's emergency services in Hong Kong, and notified that he'd gotten lost. When asked for his position, he used the 1980 grid coordinates. I believe he would have had them on his phone, but he also had the signs to guide them.
Yeah.
As I understand it, I tried to put together a timeline because you can actually read a transcript of his call. I think I could have been able to listen to it, but of course it would have been in Cantonese, so I wouldn't have understood what I was saying.
Yeah.
I was looking at, and the translations aren't great, but I tried to get a timeline, and what it looks like happened was he gives the coordinates. They sound like real coordinates, and then it's unclear if the call drops or if he hung up. But when the dispatch goes to basically send out a chopper or whatever to go find him, I don't know what they were going to use, they realized these aren't real coordinates. They don't exist.
No, that's weird. At least not in this dimension.
And he seemed really sure about it. And you can see that, you can, if you read the transcript, that the dispatcher was verifying, okay, you're sure it's here, this place, this, I'm going to read it back to you or whatever. And he seems pretty confident, and he is a police officer. They use this stuff. The cops, as I understand it, the police actually, since they instituted the system, use that instead of addresses, which kind of is, kind of makes a lot of sense, so that if like some crafty triad changes the address on the front of their building, they don't get lost. They know where it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this guy must have, yeah. So, but anyway, the coordinates didn't exist. So was there,
didn't exist.
Was there, did somebody monkey with the signs, or did, was he confused and misremembered the coordinates, or?
He could have been disoriented. Yeah. One thing I found really weird is dispatcher. And of course, this is also down to some dodgy translation. You know, it's clearly done with a computer, all the transcripts, because he keeps saying, I'm on the trail near Saigon. And of course, he's nowhere near Saigon. He's on Saikun.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're relying on some kind of auto translate. But Ding, he won't answer if he's injured, which I think is weird. He just keeps saying something to the effect of, that's great.
Huh.
When the guy asks, so he may have been hurt or he may not have been hurt. He doesn't something. Answer the question. Answers every other question, not that one. So I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's a sign that he was panicking.
Yeah.
But we'll never know, because he never picked up the phone again. They called him many times over days and days. He never made another call.
Yeah. And this guy's body never turned up either. This is one of the most mysterious ones.
Yeah. Yeah. As we can tell, he just poofed out of existence.
Yeah. You know, and again, this is not such a jungly area that your body is likely to disappear like that, especially if you're on or right by the trail, which you'd expect him to be, right?
You have to think he had it. So when he called in, he's on the trail.
Yeah.
He's looking at the sign. You'd have to think that this man who, you know, he did some hiking. He was familiar with this grid system very intimately from his work. You'd think he'd have the common sense not to leave the trail.
Yeah. Yeah, you would. And so this is a weird one. I mean, yeah. I got to say, you know.
Yeah.
And exactly. It's like, and the area is not so jungly. Like if you wanted to, from the pictures that I've seen of it, if you want to just hike up the nearest hill to the hilltop, you'll get a pretty expansive view all around. And, you know, you'll be able to figure out, you'll be able to orient yourself. And, you know, I mean, of course, he might not have been in condition to hike to the nearest, you know, top of the nearest hill. I don't know.
That's really unclear. We don't know if he was injured or heat stroked or we don't know. He doesn't answer that question when the dispatcher asks him.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know is that within hours, they had helicopters and search planes and search parties. And I guess I don't know for a fact, but I think they might have had dogs or whatever out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seems to me like he should have been pretty locatable.
All right. Our next mysterious thing was only a month later. This was October 2005. Wen Chi Yong is hiking on a Saikong trail. I presume the same one, but a different place. Again, it goes on a long ways.
Yeah. So you got to remember that just because somebody went missing on either the Tamchuk or the Maklahos trails, these are big trails that lead a long ways.
Oh, yeah, they do. And and through some rugged country, too. You know, they go up and down and over the mountains and stuff and all around. But he disappears, and there's a major search, of course, for him. They have a pretty good idea where he was when he was last heard from, and they beat the bushes in that area pretty thoroughly. And
yeah, so he did the smart thing, right?
Yeah.
Do this if you're going hiking, even if it's just like a little hike in the park. He told people where he was going,
yeah,
what trail he was taking, and when he was leaving. So if he followed his plan, they should have been able to figure out where he was pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. But and they search like hell. Again, they have a whole infrastructure for searching this area. I mean, they're ready
to
go.
They pretty accomplished at finding people out there.
Yeah, no, because a lot of people do get in trouble out there. So they've got choppers and, you know, and rescue teams all ready to go. And but they went out looking for him and found no trace of him. And then a couple of days later, his body was found in some bushes right at the spot where he was last seen by some other hikers.
Yeah.
So that, which is weird, why wasn't this body found previously, and what the hell was he doing in the bushes anyway? It was determined that he slipped and hit his head. But again, that kind of makes sense. But again, the area was number one, thoroughly searched, and number two, afterwards, pretty heavily trafficked by tourists and hikers and such, and yet nobody saw him laying there. No one smelled him, because this is a hot. It's a pretty warm part of the globe.
Oh yeah, October. It's going to be hot and
yeah,
humid.
Yeah,
muggy.
Yeah, so he should have been fairly odoriferous, you know, after a day in the sun, right?
Yeah, and you know, of course, you know, dealing with Google Translate, it's really tough. Big shout out to Austin who helped me research this, and I think he really had to muck around with a lot of Google Translate and Chinese paywalls, and so it's not always clear. But everything I can discern from the sources that I found and that Austin dug up for me, he wasn't very far off the trail. Like, they should have been able to probably see him and definitely smell him once he started getting ripe out there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's kind of weird that he just laid there and people, you know, and God knows how many people went walking by. Because again, if I haven't made it clear already, this trail is immensely popular.
It's immensely popular. Man, it's near, as I understand, this guy, Yuan, was pretty near what's called the Tam Chuk, which is sort of like the most touristy part of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's out on some remote part of this trail. He's by this. He's not very far from the shrine. It's where a lot of people do day hikes. Like hundreds of people would have walked past his corpse.
Yeah. And not smelled it or seen
thousands.
It. So that is just weird. So I don't know, man. So the question is what did somebody perhaps move the body? It opens that question up. Did he experience a mishap somewhere else and somebody put the, you know, moved the body away and then moved it back maybe?
I mean, you have to wonder. I can tell there's no evidence of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have to wonder, like, how did the search party literally, I believe I read that he was something like 100 meters from where the search party was dispatching from, like their kind of rally point.
Yeah. 100 meters.
He was just down the road. I might have that number wrong, but like he was right there.
Yeah.
So then also in 2005, in October.
Yeah.
Less than a month after all this stuff is happening.
Yeah.
A very experienced Boy Scout leader. I'm not 100% he was really the Boy Scouts, like the Boy Scouts of America. That could be a translate issue.
Mm-hmm.
But he was involved in wilderness stuff. He knew what he was doing. He'd done it for years. And he took out four women, and they were hiking pretty close to where Officer Ding's last known location was.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would be near the Chungshan portion of the Maclehose Trail.
Yeah, which is in the southern, like the far southern part of the peninsula.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so, if he was there, if he was near this thing called the Chungshan, he would have been really just a few kilometers from Officer Ding's last suspected position.
Mm-hmm.
So this unnamed, I haven't been able to dig up his name. Austin could.
That's okay, because we wouldn't be able to pronounce it anyway.
We just mispronounce it anyway.
Yeah.
So the scout leader, he was leading some women. It was part of some kind of like benevolent thing. It's hard to get the Google Translate kind of failed me on this, but it sounds like he was doing it for charity or something like that. So he's with these women, and he tells them that he's feeling sick and he needed to rest, and that they should go on ahead, and that he would catch up to them.
Mm.
2 days later, just like Yuan.
Yeah.
His body was found close to the trail they had been hiking on, pretty near where he stopped to rest. And just like Yuan, the same issues exist. The scout leader was just barely off the trail. How did no one see him there?
Yeah.
A search was conducted. And in this one, I was able to find that they were out with like search planes and stuff. Plus, he was in a pretty touristy part of the park. So there were hikers.
Yeah.
Also, you know, you can make a case about Officer Ding, but this guy was in great shape.
Yeah.
No, he had no pre-existing medical conditions, and he frequently, as in like basically every weekend, was leading trips through this park. He knew where he was.
Yeah. And so, So what the hell? Where did he go for 2 days?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Did he die? I believe he looked like he'd been dead the whole time. Like he died shortly after the women walked away.
Well, and presumably
because of the reporting, but
I have to assume that the women at a certain point walked back to find him. You would think, you know, they went on ahead, but you'd think they'd go back and look for him, and they must have walked right past him wherever he was.
I don't know if it was an out and back or if it was a loop or whatever, but we do know that the same day there were searchers who just basically retraced his steps.
Yeah.
And they didn't find him.
Yeah.
So, we're not talking about something where someone goes missing and then, you know, a week later they're hitting the trail or whatever. This was day of. Mere hours have passed before they're looking for this guy.
Yeah, I know exactly. And this, so he's just off the trail. Did he crawl off the trail and hide himself? And why the hell would you do that? If you're sick or injured or in trouble, all you got to do is stay right there on the trail. Somebody will walk by and help you.
Right.
And instead you hide. Why the hell would you do that?
Well, and yeah, so, that's also due to, because this is, I'm reporting from another, you're reading a reportage from another country. I don't know how well hidden he was, whether he might have just been out in the open. We know one guy was just literally, his body was just out in the open.
Guy,
I don't know if he was like under some bushes or whatever, if he was really dehydrated and looking for shade. But even if that's the case, like, this guy knew what he was getting into. He hiked there all the time. He had groups of children and old women through that park.
Yeah.
He wasn't exact, and he was 23 years old. He was in great health. I'm sure he brought water with him. Right. It wasn't like he ran off half cocked into the jungle.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing. He brought some water, a little bit of a snack or something to keep him going if he needed it.
Yeah. One of the, apparently one of the big threats on this trail, from what I've read about it, I'd never been on it, obviously, but heat stroke is an issue because some major parts of the trail have no trees. And so there's no shade. And so people do tend to get, you know, in the hotter times of the years, they get heat stroke.
Which but October again, would be, I believe.
Yeah. Hot
season, hot, dry season.
Yeah. A guy like this would be prepared for that. He probably would, you know, be carrying around, I don't know, whatever, some sort of a hat, like a pith helmet or something like that. Or
something.
Or maybe a parasol that he could hold up to shade himself from the sun or something. He'd be prepared for something like that, right? He wouldn't need to crawl under some shrubbery to get some shade.
And you'd also have to think, and maybe he got disoriented and wasn't thinking clearly, but you'd also have to think that he would, presumably, this is 2005, we know there was cell service, called somebody, called rescue, called a friend.
Yeah.
We'd also have to imagine that he would know better than to be like, I'm going to go hide where they can't rescue me.
I know, right? And so it's like,
if it was one of the women that this happened to, I'd be more inclined to say like, yeah, they made some mistakes. People make mistakes when they're scared.
Yeah,
that's common. But this guy, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but probably knew what he was doing. He seemed like he knew what he was doing. Plus, as I understand it, and I'm reaching here into the translation, the Google Translate mysteries, but these women, I believe, were not people who ordinarily would go out into the park. They made it in and out just fine. I believe they were like the city ladies.
Yeah,
I might be wrong about that, but I don't think they were like, I can tell you for a fact, he was their lead. He was their guide. It was done as a part of a charity. I don't think they were really experienced hikers, and they had no problem. They didn't get heat stroke. They didn't pass out.
That huge numbers of people use this trail all the time without dying. It's like, it's not a technically challenging place. It looks
pretty even.
It's pretty, well, there's some steep climbs and stuff like that, but it's nothing.
I'm particularly talking about the Cheung San area.
Not that area. No, that's more off.
It's got a grade. It's not, I mean, it's a hiking trail, but it's not like some crazy, you know, switchbacks and rocky terrain. It looks pretty average.
You know, it's not particularly dangerous. You don't need special skills or gear or anything like that. Not at all.
And literally thousands, if not millions of people go there in any given year. This is one of the more popular parts of the park.
Yeah. And so I don't know.
Yeah. It's weird. Why don't you bring us up to 2009?
Yeah, and there's another one here. A bus driver whose name was Wong Chuk Lung.
That's debatable, but I'm going to go with it that his name was Wong.
Yeah. But Wong, so he goes hiking somewhere in eastern Saikong, and apparently this is a little vague. Again, translation, sorry. Never came back. So his family, who of course, were worried when he didn't come back. They called his phone and got no answer until a fisherman answered the phone, and he said that he had found the guy's phone and a bag while he was fishing, and he stole the SIM card out of it from the phone to use. Nice guy. But at least he was honest enough to admit it. And it's
they
like, oh,
the
yeah.
They called.
Yeah, I know. He did pick up the phone, and he acknowledged what had happened, but he found that, which is interesting because, I mean, there's no place in, there's no, I mean, some of these trails kind of lead down to the ocean, I guess. So maybe he could have visited a beach or something like that and left his phone and his bag sitting there. But I guess, I don't know. But so if he's honest, if the fisherman that is honest about where he found Wong's phone, it means it was transported miles and miles from the park at Saikong. Again, unless Wong took a side trail leading to the ocean. I don't know. We don't know this.
So the reporting on this is a little vague. I really wanted to find out where the fisherman found the phone.
Yeah.
All I could find was reports saying it was nowhere near the park.
Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. Huh.
That's the best I can do. I wish I could tell you where it was and if maybe he'd taken a side trail down to the ocean and could the tide have brought it to where the fisherman was? Was it a, I don't really even know if he was fishing on, I believe he was fishing on the ocean, but for all I know, he was fishing in a river somewhere. I don't really know where this fisherman was, but suffice it to say the press was convinced that it would not really, like if he just dropped the phone, it couldn't have got to where the fisherman found it.
No, it sounds like not. Well, it could have washed downhill, I guess, from rainfall and little, you know, little rivulets of water, make send it tumbling down the hill and leave it on the beach or something like that. But of course, the phone would not be in good working order. Maybe the SIM card would still work.
The phone was wet, but the SIM card worked. And so basically,
okay,
as I understand it, remember how phones worked back then?
Yeah.
If you could get someone's SIM card into your phone, then you ended up, you could use their minutes.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That's how, yeah. Nice one.
Yeah. This leaves some questions open about Wong's disappearance. Did he leave the park on his own speed and actually go missing from somewhere else, maybe? Mm-hmm. Maybe he ditched the phone. Maybe, or did somebody else find his phone and take it out of the park?
Yeah.
Perhaps. Did something happen? But yeah, Wong, the bus driver, as far as I know, no trace of him has ever been found. Other than that phone.
Yeah, that one I'm pretty sure about. In the case of the police officer who went missing, we found one source that said they found his body. It's just one source, so I'm going with it. They didn't find his body. I think that somewhat dubious source was confused or just misrepresenting. In the case of Wong, the bus driver, that's all they found of him. He's gone. Well, there's no body, no other things.
Whoa. So really? So yeah, I don't know, man. This Sai Kung Peninsula initially seems like a fun place to go hiking. Now I'm not so sure.
It looks beautiful, but now I'm not sure I want to go there.
It does look really nice. There's like, again, I encourage people to go out and look at, you know, Google. You can see some cool aerials of the whole area, get an idea about the geography. And you can zoom in there. There are some roads out there, so you can do a little street viewing, and there's tons and tons of pictures posted out there you can look at too.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can get a pretty good idea of what we're talking about. In fact, you might want to hit pause and do that right now.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's worth it. Or, you know, you could also just go there and visit. Just, you know, be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. Just get off your cheap butt and buy yourself a plane ticket and fly out there.
Because of the pandemic, it's been so long since I just like got on a plane and went somewhere new. I need to friggin' do that.
I kind of miss that. Yeah. I gotta do that one of these days.
All right. Okay. So in 2011, a man dialed 999. That's like their emergency services. And he briefly spoke to the operators before the call mysteriously dropped. He told them he was near Pak Tam on a forested trail, which Austin and I reasoned that this would actually be really close to the entrance to the park.
So that would be kind of on the southwest corner of the island then? Because, I mean, there's like 10 sections to the trail, in the Maklos Trail is like, you know, and so section one is actually very close to the city of Sai Kung.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, yeah, you know, that's in. So it's kind of like just to the west of the High Island Reservoir, which you can all see if you look on the map.
It's pretty cool. So my guess is that if you look up, it's like the Paktem Monument, right? Mm-hmm. There's like a gate looking thing. It's traditional Chinese architecture. I think he was fairly near that.
Oh.
Which is really one of the more popular parts of the park. So it's not like, it's not like he was out in the remotest regions.
No, that's actually, you know, that area right there is very close to civilization. There's actually little towns and villages right there. And so that's not isolated at all.
Right.
But yeah. Again,
he did not talk with these people very long before the call dropped or was hung up. It seems like it was dropped.
Yeah.
It does not seem like he hung up. But this person, they were never found and never identified. They sent people out to try to go help him. Nobody in the park that day seemed like they needed any help. Nobody who went hiking went missing.
It's
totally possible that he was disoriented, called for help, call dropped, and then he found his own way out of the park, and maybe he was a little embarrassed, so he didn't follow up.
Mm-hmm. That's possible. Yeah.
It's strange, right? Like,
it's also
they sent out the Marines or whatever. Not the Marines, but they sent out search and rescue, right? They're sending in the cavalry to go help this guy.
Yeah.
You just imagine them running along the trail. Is anyone lost? And everyone's going, no, we're fine.
Or it could have been a prank call.
Totally possible.
Or it could have been one of their search and rescue guys. Maybe these guys get paid by the hour. And so, you know, he thought, oh, I'll just call in a fake call and they'll pay me, pay me time and a half to go out there and search. So that's possible if that's what this was. It's just somebody who wanted that. But that's really reaching. I'm assuming actually the rescue workers are sort of sitting around the fire station getting paid no matter what.
Typically.
I don't know.
I wouldn't accuse them of anything without evidence. I'm sure they're all good guys who really want to help people.
No, that was actually kind of a lighthearted theory that I came up with there just off the cuff. But let's go on to our next little mysterious disappearance
It's worth noting before we get into that. You take this next one, but I do want to say that Austin and I were kind of interested in the fact that there appears to be an 8-year hiatus in the park.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like anything major happened in the park. If there was anything that happened, it sure wasn't spooky, right?
Well, no, it is interesting that like for example, there was a little spate in 2005 of several, really seriously mysterious things happen, and then bang, nothing for a few years, and then we got this thing in 2011, and then nothing for 8 years. That's weird. It would sort of average out a little more evenly,
right?
So yeah, but our next mysterious event was in August 2019 when a 45-year-old man named Hui told his family he was going to hike the Tai Long Ao trail via Chek Kang in Sai Kung on a Saturday afternoon. Or I should say a Saturday all day, I guess. But the day went by, evening came, and by the next morning, he still wasn't home. Family got a little concerned. So they called the authorities, and of course they searched again, police, fire department, search and rescue, flying service, everything. And so on Monday, this would be 2 days after he took off for his hike, the rescue workers found the body of Hui lying in a patch of grass near Tung Huan, which is about an hour's walk away from where he would have been expected to be.
He could have just headed off in a different direction on a way.
Yeah, this isn't too mind-boggling, I suppose, so far. But police classified the death as suspicious, though.
Yeah.
So, but they said it was suspicious, implying some foul play, they don't seem to have released any results from the investigation.
No, the only thing I could find that Austin didn't dig up is it does appear he died of a head injury.
Yeah.
If I kind of read between the lines, it seems like the police were not sure that was, just a natural head injury, right?
Yeah,
like
an accident. He tripped, Or somebody coshed him on the head.
What it seems like to me, and again, I'm reading between the lines, this is my interpretation of a Google translated article from the Hong Kong media, but what it seems to be is that they wanted more time to determine if this was an accident or if there's evidence that he was actually... there was foul play. I have not heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. So that's an open-ended one right there, an unsolved one. So possibly a murder, though.
Certainly open.
It
could be. So in 2020, an unspecified man was found dead along a Sai Kung hiking trail. He is thought to have died of head trauma that looked, according to the reporter, similar to the October 2005 death. This could be just that he slipped and fell, but we left it in here because it happened.
It all depends, because, you slip and fall and you fall on soft ground. Well, hard to get a head trauma there. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I were the cop, and I'd be looking for a rock that he could have bashed his head on. But,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that the fact that this made the papers is not that they found him, you know, laying next to a bloody stone that he's, you know, at a, like a muddy patch, right?
Yeah.
Where you could kind of be like, yep, see, that's where he slipped. That's the stone he hit his head on. And poor guy, he died right here.
Yeah.
It seems to be a little more mysterious than that, but I think this one could be fairly explicable, but we left it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. December 19th, the same year, 2020, a couple goes hiking in Sai Kung. They're unnamed, except the wife is apparently named Wu. He was 49. She was 45. And they'd been hiking for about an hour, apparently at about, 8:30 p.m., 2036. The husband became unwell, suddenly out of nowhere, and passed out. He went unconscious. But what the wife had a phone called for help. He was airlifted to a hospital, pronounced dead just after midnight on the following day, which is kind of weird. I mean, you know, you're in good health and all of a sudden out of nowhere, you just like start feeling sick and then you pass out and die. Mm-hmm. No cause of death was ever determined. As far as I know, no cause of death was ever released by the police.
Yeah, we looked. If they did determine a cause of death, it has not been. It's not been released in the year and change since
that
happened. It's worth noting that one would think that if the man just simply dehydrated, he was not, you know, he was 49 years old.
Yeah,
he's not a spring chicken. It would have been. I tried to get some weather data. Would have been warm that day, but it was also pretty late in the day. The sun was going down.
Yeah, it was like 8:30 p.m. I mean, yeah, you're not going to get heat stroke at that time of the day, I don't think. I mean,
it's not impossible. Seems unlikely. But it's also really easy to tell if someone died from dehydration, right? Like if you get heat stroke and die from it, that's pretty easy to tell. At least on the reporting that was done right around the 19th, they were like, we don't know what he died of. Maybe they know now and they just haven't released it.
Mm.
But I could not find a cause of death. And at the time they were pretty non-committal about what happened to the guy.
I think the wife probably poisoned him. So, yeah, he had insurance and she poisoned him. Then there you go. She poisoned his water bottle.
You know,
there you go.
You're always the guy who's like, Vincent, we can't say that. We'll get sued. And then you just dropping this on me.
Yeah.
If you're out there, I don't believe you did anything to your husband and there's no evidence to support it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's
not
the opinion of the shocking details. Joe can be reached.
No, that's just me. That's just me just like spitballing. It's hard to say. But
I guess it is that and a million other things are possible, right?
Well, at this point in time, though, like starting in 2020, 2021, there's a spate of mysterious deaths that some of them bear some similarity, which, you know, we'll talk about a little bit more. The tenor of our little mysterious thing sort of changed a little bit here.
Right.
With people suddenly taking ill. Right. What do you say? Yeah. So what's our next one? The next one was early 2021, right? Mm-hmm. What do you know about this one?
Well, 51-year-old woman and her friend were hiking on a Sai Kung trail. Couldn't get the exact trail. It was around 9:42, so this would be in the morning.
Yeah.
And the 51-year-old woman, she said she was not feeling well. And then just moments later, she passed out. Reports that Austin dug up said this happened on a hilltop near Tai Cham Koi. So that would kind of track with our heat stroke or whatever.
Well, it's kind of similar to the previous incident where the guy just suddenly out of nowhere starts feeling unwell and then passes out. And also, this is 9:42 a.m. It's not exactly heat of the daytime yet. It's not noon or anything. You know?
I get the impression, and I don't know this for a fact because I don't know where they started off from,
but
that these ladies left pretty early in the morning possibly to avoid the heat.
Yeah.
Mm. But anyway, the point is they were at an exposed point. So I don't know, maybe heat stroke overtook her.
Yeah.
But once again, just like the last people, she was airlifted to the hospital. She got world-class treatment and died at 11.
Yeah. That's
like
weird.
An hour later. That's fast.
Yeah. Died of, and they never established a cause of death, did they?
They never were able to establish a cause of death. The papers reported that she did not have any pre-existing conditions and she was in overall good health. I found a picture of her in the paper. If it is the correct picture, she sure looks like she does not look 51 years old. She looks like she's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe not the most mysterious death we've ever covered on this show, but it is odd.
It's very odd. I mean, sometimes even I knew a guy like several years ago who was extremely healthy in his early 40s, and he just died because his aorta just blew up one day. So it happens.
It's weird to me.
But that, it's still unusual.
Okay, but if that happens, right, if you just have a massive coronary because you have a genetic failure in your heart, I know people who've passed on that way too, but usually the doctors can figure that out.
Yeah, in this case, this is true. In this case, the cause of death is just undetermined. It's weird.
Right.
Hey, so
it is possible that I'm missing some information that they never released or whatever, but it is, at least on the surface, it looks like this woman just passed away in about an hour and 20 minutes, going from being fine to being 100% dead in the hospital with no established cause. You know, the newspaper reports aren't like, oh, she had a heart attack up there. Hey, man, that happens. You go on a hike, you push yourself a little too hard. 51 isn't super young. You pass away.
Yeah.
It did not happen like that. It sounds like she was doing great right up until around 9:40. And by 11, she's deceased despite, being helicopter lifted out of there.
Yeah. So that's weird. And then there was another one like just a few months later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This one was like March 18th, 2021. This guy was 59, still not very old.
Yeah.
And he was on the Maclow's Trail Section 2, which would be like southeast to east Saikung Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
And he was found, hiking by himself, but he was found by other hikers. He was unresponsive, as in he was passed out again, like our previous two cases here. Suddenly somebody just passes out and he's airlifted out. He later dies. And so, like I said, these all of a sudden we're getting, instead of people like vanishing mysteriously, now we're getting people keeling over and dying for no particular reason.
Yeah. And just like the other ones, you know, it could be that it never got released to the press or whatever. And it may be totally explicable, but near as we know, we don't know what this guy died of.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so maybe that's one of the easier ones to explain. Maybe. But on July 3rd, a group of 21 Boy Scouts and their instructor hiked to the Ban Yi Reservoir near Baitudun when a 24-year-old man named Yi Nan fainted and began to vomit. Suspected heat stroke. Authorities were called, and a 53-year-old man who was part of the group began CPR until an emergency helicopter could arrive. This man also fainted, probably as a result of doing a bunch of CPR. Which,
maybe if he was doing it the old-fashioned way, where you plant your lips on the other guy's lips and, you know, breathe hard into his lungs, maybe he hyperventilated,
maybe, but it doesn't even have to be that. I, knock on wood, have never had to perform CPR to save a person's life.
Yeah.
In trainings, I've had to do it on a dummy. And I'm not even talking about the breathing through the lips thing, just the compressions. It will tear you up. It is surprisingly physical.
Yeah. And so maybe that was it. The guy was out of shape and it was just too much. But
all the stuff. But I think that's pretty explicable, honestly. And this guy lived.
Yeah.
But I think what's also interesting is that this young man who's in good shape was an outdoorsman.
Yeah, he was 24. Yi Nan was the guy who originally passed out, right?
He slipped into a coma and he later died at the hospital. He had no pre-existing conditions. There was no abnormalities in any of his workups. During the hike, prior to his fatal event, he was doing just fine, laughing and joking with people. If this was the only thing that happened at Saikung, I'd be like, yeah, okay, look, man, sometimes people pass away. It sucks.
It does. It does. Not every one of these could be said.
It's starting to get more mysterious.
Well, again, this is like, maybe I should save it for the series, but there's a whole series of watering stations throughout the whole park that are maintained by the authorities. I mean, what if you're like some sort of psycho killer type? And you go drop a little poison pill in there, and poison a few people. And of course it dissipates pretty quickly. So not everybody dies, just one or two people die.
Yeah, and the guy who gets the big dose, it's hard to say, but like, just like the other people, they said, at least at the time of his death, which was pretty recently, that they did not have a cause of death.
Yeah.
So he did not pass away from a massive coronary. He did not get heat stroke and die. They don't know.
Maybe that's what makes me wonder if our psycho killer, hypothetical, of course, is using some poison so exotic it doesn't show up on standard testing.
Let's talk about the rocket, because I actually I don't know what this has to do with anything. I love the story of the rocket.
The rocket is interesting, but I'm not sure what this means. But October June 3rd, 2021, just a few months after the last incident, a fragment of an unidentified Chinese rocket washed ashore in Baila Bay. And that's where is Baila? That's like an eastern cyclone?
Yeah, it's going to be, I believe that would be the far east and southern end of the park, but I might have it wrong.
Yeah, the shape of the island is so irregular. It's got a lot of bays. It's got bays within bays, and et cetera. Right. And it's a very irregularly shaped island, which is kind of cool because it makes for a hell of a lot of coastline. That's kind of neat. A lot of beaches, yeah. But anyway, so it's washed ashore in this bay, and nobody's been able to ever conclusively link this piece of rocket to any specific launch or test or failed test by the Chinese government. And I assume this is a Chinese, as in mainland Chinese rocket, not...
Well, it's all the same government now, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but not like, say...
This would have been Beijing that launched this rocket, not...
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But of course, you know, at the same time, the Chinese government does not feel the need to tell the world about everything. So I'm not sure what this means. If this was... It could have been a Chinese rocket that came from another dimension, from another Chinese government. And maybe that's why, you know, there's no record of any launch that it could be tagged to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it is just worth noting that at some point a rocket was shot over the highly populated area around the South China Sea.
Yeah.
It either blew up or splashed down, and a chunk of it washed up on a beach at Saikung.
Yeah.
And no one can conclusively say, oh, that was that rocket that blew up or crashed in the ocean or whatever.
You
can't connect it to a specific launch, and from what I can tell, it looks like a lot of people have tried. So that's kind of interesting.
Now, one of the things I never really got a total idea, was this a complete rocket, or maybe just the first stage of a multi-stage rocket?
No, it's definitely not a full rocket at all. It's described as a fragment. A person can hold it. It's big.
Oh, okay.
But you could probably lift it up. It looks like it's part of a shell. It could be from a stage.
Yeah.
From a what do they call that?
Like a first stage.
Yeah, like a first stage, second stage. It could be from that. But there were a lot of identifying marks on it that would be pretty traceable.
Yeah.
But we couldn't trace them to anything.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it could just be that, like I said, it's probably from another dimension, but there's always a remote possibility that the Chinese, you know, launched it and just didn't tell anybody, you know, and aren't inclined to tell anybody.
So the only thing I would say to back up the theory that it came from another dimension or some stuff like that is that, from what I can tell, and I'm not an expert on the Chinese military, it would have been a part of a large enough rocket that someone would have, you would have seen it.
Yeah.
Right. It would have been big enough. The rocket itself, not the fragment that washed up on the beach, but the rocket itself would have been big enough that it would have been the kind of thing that they couldn't keep secret. Right. You can't launch. I'm not saying it was this big, but you can't launch a Saturn V rocket without people seeing it. They'll just see that thing. It's too big.
Well, yeah. Although this one does not sound remotely as big as a Saturn V.
Nothing is, but it was.
Somebody would have seen it. Yeah, they do make a big, they do make a big, flare. You know, a big, bright flare. Yeah, but, yeah, well, so anyway, there's the rocket. I don't know. That's weird. Yeah,
like a lot of things in this, it in and of itself, it's not a story. With everything else, maybe it is.
Yeah, I know. There's just so many weird things. We can just run through some of these other incidents kind of quickly, I guess. I don't want to wear out our welcome with our listeners. So what else we got here?
And you would not believe how many we cut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of incidents like this. Let's see. So just 3 days after the rocket, what happened? Some middle-aged man was hiking with a friend. He suddenly felt pain in his heart, lost consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
He was airlifted out, but declared dead at the hospital. But again, people have heart attacks when they're
hiking. That's not a weird one.
So, yeah, but still. Let's see.
So on November 26, 2021, Wu Jingyuan went hiking in East Saikung. So this is kind of our area of interest. His family hadn't heard from him. They contacted authorities. They went on a big search around the Baila Bay. This is the same place where the rocket washed up. They used planes, helicopters, drones. They didn't see anything from the sky. They saw no trace of him. But about 9 a.m., I believe that would be the following day after the search was launched, a hiker found his belongings, cell phone, bank cards, and all this stuff at a cliff. Mm. And at about 10 o'clock that night, about 8 o'clock that night, the Marine police found his body in the sea, but they could not find any cause of death. Suicide has been speculated, but there was nothing in his, like, he wasn't necessarily like a real big candidate for suicide. So it's a little mysterious.
Well, so when they say no cause of death, they found his body floating in the ocean, but he hadn't drowned.
That, I mean, to the temple of Google Translate, I pray, but it does not sound like they could say conclusively that he drowned.
Huh. Well, that's really weird. Yeah. Well, in that one, that's pretty obvious what happened. He was hiking, aliens abducted him, probed him, and then put him back, but they screwed up and put him back in the ocean.
You laugh. I cut it out of the script, but you laugh, but I did find some obviously faked UFO videos from the Saigon area.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool.
So maybe the fake aliens. But no, I don't know what happened to this man. I think it's likely that he either took his own life or just fell in the water, but it is weird that they couldn't say, yeah, he drowned.
Yeah. Let's see what else like that. Now we're getting up into 2022. January 23rd, this very year, our most recent death, a 24-year-old man, his name was Lau, and he was hiking on Saiwan Road with a friend when he suddenly faded. He was airlifted out like so many others, pronounced dead at the hospital. But again, no cause of death was ever listed by the authorities. The guy had no pre-existing conditions or health issues. So weird, but anyway, a lot of dead bodies. People are dropping like flies on the Saigon Peninsula.
And even if you go, okay, you know, a guy had an undiagnosed heart condition, had a heart attack and died. What we are seeing, and this will come up in press coverage, is that a lot more people, this park isn't brand new.
No, it's been around for a long time.
Out there than there used to be.
Yeah.
Something started going on in 2005.
It could be toxic waste, could be.
So here's the episode. Stay tuned for part two. All right, there you have it. Just hang tight and we'll get part two out as soon as you can. Looking forward to sharing that with everybody. Stay tuned. Thanks.
The shocking details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.